We are delighted to be with you today, and we want to get into the Word of God and share some thoughts and a message with you that's been up on my heart in regards to the condition of our nation. We can see that we are living in very serious times. My brother and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a day and an hour that is very critical and very important for the church to pray like we've never prayed before. And the Bible declares that when a nation is in turmoil, a nation is in a state of confusion, and a nation is under the hand of God's judgment. Now, I know that those are strong words to many, but the fact is that our nation of America is getting ready to see the judgment of God, and we've already begun to see the beginning stages of it. The Bible says that any nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. Now, a large majority of Americans here in this nation have forsaken God. I believe there is a remnant within our country and around this nation that are still fearing God, still serving the Lord, still putting their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any nation. And I am concerned for our nation, and particularly I'm concerned for the condition spiritually of the church. And when I speak of the church, I speak on that broad spectrum of those that consider themselves to be Bible-believing, born-again Christians, those that are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, those that are not going to hide and deny the name of the Lord, but those that are willing to stand up for truth, stand up for righteousness. See, there are many that confess that they know Him. There are many that profess that they are Christians, but they really do not have a wholehearted commitment to serving the Lord and proclaiming His name before men. I'm concerned about our government. I'm concerned about the direction our nation is heading. And if there's ever been a time that we needed to pray, it is the time that we're living in. This election that we're getting ready to see in November is very critical. And I don't have confidence in either one of the candidates, but the fact is that we need to put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is the only hope for America. Will God continue to show mercy to America? Well, that remains to be seen. I believe the pattern has been laid out through the Word of God. And if you're just tuning in, this is Pastor N.R. Davis. I'm the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here on the west side of Manchester. And we're bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast that comes to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. And we're sharing with you today about the condition of our nation spiritually. And we need to recognize that we need to take what is happening within our nation very serious. It seems like many are slumbering spiritually, many are asleep. And I know there is a remnant throughout the land that is praying, but our hope is not going to be found in an election. Our hope of seeing this nation turn their hearts back to God, what it's going to take, and we all have heard the scripture many a times, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Now he's talking to the people of God, turning from their wickedness. He's not talking about the homosexuals. He's not talking about the pedophiles, the drunkards, the evil men, the seducers that are waxing worse and worse. Listen, those that are in the world is not who he's talking to. He's talking about my people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. He goes on to say, they need to turn. They need to repent from their wicked ways. Listen, when judgment comes upon a nation, the Bible says when judgment begins, it's first going to begin in the house of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, I know that a lot of us want to believe that the masses are just going to be somehow swept in to the kingdom of God, and there's going to be some great revival where many are going to be saved. And I still believe God can do that. I'm hoping that God will give us an end time harvest of souls. But the fact is, the Bible says, if the righteous be scarcely saved, if the righteous be scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of destruction and death. We are headed in the wrong direction as a nation. And I am concerned about the church, and especially the leadership, the pastors, the bishops, the men of God that are leaders within our churches in America. We have many great men that are faithfully preaching the truth of God's word behind their pulpits week after week after week. But there are a large majority of pastors, preachers, ministers, evangelists that are not truly preaching the truth of God's word. The Bible declares that there are many false prophets throughout the nation. And the reason why our nation is in the condition that it is in is because of the leaders in the church. Now, how can you blame the leaders? Because I can tell you this, many of our pastors, preachers, evangelists, men of God that are proclaiming the word of God have failed to show our generation the error of their ways. The Bible says that we are to have men that cry aloud and spare not, and lift up their voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and their sins. Preaching against sin is not popular. Preaching against sin is not what the majority of Christians want to hear about. But the fact is that our nation is getting ready to come under the judgment of God. And Christianity is not popular in the earth right now. Many are turning and looking at us as like we are crazy. Those of us that stand for truth, stand for righteousness, those that call sin, sin, wickedness, wickedness, and righteousness, righteousness. We're just too old-fashioned. We need to tolerate. Listen, God's not into tolerance. He's into repentance. We need to recognize that the gospel message has not changed. And many of our ministers and preachers and teachers and pastors have failed to truly preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got gospels now being preached throughout our nation that require no repentance to the sinner. Now it's just simply say a prayer that I believe and you're going to be saved and go to heaven. My friend, my brother, my sister, this is not the gospel. The gospel requires us to deny ourselves. Jesus said, if any man's going to be my disciple, he must first deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Self-denial, not allowing your flesh to rule and reign you and to do whatever it wants to do. Disciples, we understand, we get that word discipline, are to live lives of discipline, lives of sanctification. We're to live lives as holy people under the Lord. He says, I am holy, therefore I want you to be holy. We are to come out from among the world and be separated, saith the Lord. Touch not, handle not the unclean thing, and then I will receive you. A large majority of the preachers and ministers of the gospel today are not obeying God's word. We are to reprove. We are to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. The Bible says that Paul exhorted that young preacher, Timothy, to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reproving, rebuking, and continuing to teach the people and instruct them in the ways of righteousness and truth. Now we have ministers all over our nation preaching about prosperity. We call it the health and wealth gospel. And I believe that God wants to see his people prosper. I don't believe God wants us to live poor. I don't believe God wants us to live unhealthy in our bodies. But he said through his servant, beloved my brethren, I wish above all things that you prosper. I want to see you blessed and be in good health, but even as your soul prospers. What is the spiritual condition of the church right now? Well, we can simply find that answer, my friend, in the book of Revelation. There were seven church ages that Jesus began to describe. And in the Bible, he begins to share with each of them how that they were doing some things right and some things they weren't doing too right. And I like the way that Jesus dealt with them all. He began to tell them, look, you're doing a few things right, but there's a few things I have against you. What would Jesus Christ say about the church age that we are living in today? Well, out of the seven churches, and for time's sake today, I want to take you to that last church age. The previous church age before the last church age was the Philadelphia church. He had great things to say about that church. He said that they had brotherly love. There was a great door of opportunity open to them that no man could shut. And he said they were faithful. But this Laodicean church in the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now understand, this is the description of this Laodicean church. Verse 15 of Revelation 3, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, because you are saying, church, I am rich, I am increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. And he says, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Listen to the description, my brothers, my sisters in Christ. Listen to the description of this Laodicean church, this church that thought that they were spiritually blessed, that they were spiritually rich. They thought that their health, their wealth, their prosperity was an indication that God's blessings were upon them. Listen, just because you're blessed and have money financially and you've got things in the material, nice homes and churches and cars and good jobs, God wishes above all things that we prosper. But even as our soul prospers, look at the Apostle Paul and his traveling. He said, I went through times of hungering. I went through times of abundance. He says, I've learned to be content. 5 times I was beaten with 39 stripes. He says, oftentimes I was sleeping out in the cold and nakedness. He says, oftentimes fastings and hungering. Let's preach to Paul about that wealth and health gospel of today. Paul was a man that knew that there was a price to pay to preach the gospel. Now, I'm not promoting that Christians are to be poor, but hear what I'm saying. Just because God does bless us financially, just because we are a nation that is the most blessed nation upon the face of the earth, and many of our churches are blessed in comparison to what I have seen personally in many different continents upon this earth. I've been to Africa. I've been to many, many poor, poor islands in the Caribbean. I've been to Mexico. I've been to nations, and I have seen firsthand in the jungle regions of Africa and in the desert landscapes of Africa and in Mexico in the slums of the city. I have seen churches that didn't have much at all. They weren't rich. They weren't increased with goods. They weren't having the mentality that we're in need of nothing. They went without many of these churches that we support and fellowship in the mission field. Our Western churches have never seen what it is to truly suffer. But we've got brothers and sisters in Christ all through this world and all through our nation that are suffering. What are you sharing today, Pastor Davis? And for those of you that have just tuned in, I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here on the west side of Manchester. We bring to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. And if you'd like to contact us, you can contact us at theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com. You can go to our website and you could look into all about our ministry there on the website. I'm talking about the spiritual condition of our nation and the church. A church that says we are increased with goods, we are in need of nothing. Tell that to our suffering brothers and sisters throughout Mexico, throughout China, throughout the Philippines, throughout the Middle East, throughout many of these Muslim nations that are suffering, that are being martyred, women that are being raped and murdered, children that are being crucified. If there's ever been a time we need to recognize though we may think we're rich here in America, in the natural, Jesus said to that Laodicean church, don't you even know your spiritual condition? That you were wretched, you were miserable, you were poor spiritually, and you were blind and naked. You can't even see your spiritual condition. Listen, Jesus had nothing good to say about the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church is a perfect picture of our modern day church in America. Oh yes, we have our big churches with padded pews. We have our crowds of thousands sitting in big churches across America and our major cities. And I'm not against a big church. I'm not against padded pews. But I'm trying to make a point, my brothers and sisters. That's no indication of the level of spirituality in that church. Matter of fact, the Laodicean church had everything in the natural, but they were poor, miserable, blind, and naked in the spiritual. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his wealth and the things that he possesses and achieves. If we are not preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ, we will have spiritually poor people. The gospel of Jesus Christ was never looking to promote us in the natural with wealth. Matter of fact, Jesus said that wealth brings snare. Not that God cannot bless men and women of God that are faithful with wealth and faithful with riches. But the problem is don't ever be deceived thinking just because somebody has a lot of money and a church has a lot of money and they have a beautiful buildings and they're doing so many things in the natural for the good that they're healthy spiritually. He said, I would rather you be hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, the lukewarmness of our church age today is where we're at. A spirit of apathy, a spirit of lethargy is in many of our churches. And the condition of many of the people is to simply just go to church, hear the preacher preach, pay a few tithe dollars, I'm going to shake a few hands. But the real mentality of most that come into a church, they never really are truly changed by the power of God into new creatures in Christ. We are not to be focusing on the natural. We are to be focusing on the spiritual. The spiritual condition of our nation, and the reason why our nation is in the condition it is because of the church. And when I say church, I mean the large majority of our full gospel, Bible-believing churches. And if there's ever been a time that we needed to see a revival of God raising up some men in our generation that will proclaim the truth of the gospel, that's the day and the hour that we're living. We have a few that are being faithful to proclaim the gospel, but there are too many of these pastors, preachers, evangelists that are in it for the wealth, in it for the health, in it for all the blessings and promises and all this stuff. Matter of fact, it almost goes totally contrary to the gospel that Jesus preached. He says, I don't have a problem with men being rich. That ain't the problem. But if the riches begin to take control of the man or take control of a church, we will lose our spiritual focus. My brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you today to understand that we are living in very serious times, and we need the people of God to awaken, to understand that the night is far spent, the day is at hand, and we need to come out of our slumber. We need to come out of our apathy, and we need to pray like we've never prayed before. For God to send a revival of God-sent conviction to where people will repent of their sins. When judgment begins, it begins in the house of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, I believe that the true church of Jesus Christ is getting ready to see some persecution. We're getting ready to see many that are going to turn against us because we believe in a man named Jesus. And we have the boldness to say that there's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters out there, let's pray that God brings revival to our nation and to our churches. And we need to see it first start in the house of God. The Bible says if we judge ourselves, we would not have to be judged. And if we as the church, the spiritual backbone of our nation, if we will begin to humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, the Bible says in that second part, of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then, he said, once they repent, I will bring healing. I will bring restoration. I will bring a revival to my people. This is the only hope for America, is for God to send revival to our nation. And it must first start in the church. We must first recognize and not be like the Laodicean church that says we're in need of nothing because we're doing good in the natural. We got money. We got everything. But he said, you're poor, you're blind, you're wretched, you're naked. Our spiritual condition must be seen first, that we need God. Not an attitude of we're in need of nothing, but we need a revival. We need God to turn our hearts back to him, and we can serve him with a godly reverence and fear, understanding that God will judge the righteous. Because when judgment does come, it rains on the just and the unjust. And I'm not here to bring a doom and gloom message, but I'm here to tell you, to whom much is given, much will be required. The American church has been given so much, and God is going to require much at our hands.